Blog Talk Radio.
I hate vain thoughts, but thou, Lord, do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my Elohim. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Shalom, 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 all praise, all honor be unto the Most High Yahweh forever and forever and ever. Hallelujah. That was Psalm 119, section Samech. Psalm 119, section Samech, of the word, hallelujah, of the true and living Elohim, the Most High Yah, henceforth forever and forever. I am Yeremiah ben Israel, and you are in the Lily Suite, every day, every day on Blog Talk Radio. Yes, my beloved brothers and my beloved sisters, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to grace you again in another episode in the Knowledge Suite. My beloved brothers and sisters, without a whole lot of preliminaries and pre-reviews and pre-previews and everything, I want to get into the subject matter quickly tonight because it does pertain to many things that we really need to be cognizant of, things that have been going on around us, the multiple things, and even the things that we know don't even scratch the surface because these wicked ones have been at work before day one, when we came here, the place was already set up for wickedness and wrongness to be what? To be set toward our people, and then the mistreatment, the wickedness, and the ugliness, and the wickedness of it. Hallelujah. Can't call it in, but what it is. It's wicked. It's just plain wicked. The hateful acts, all of it is wicked toward the children of the Most High Yah. Yes, it was already in place before the first slave ship, the good ship JSUS, yes, arrived here April 1st, 1555. For those of y'all who waiting on a so-called hallelujah 1619 date, well, let me tell you something. That's the answer to the $64,000 question. You hear the European Center all the time. That's what it's about. They deleted 64 years from our actual arrival date here, my beloved brothers and sisters. Add it up. Hallelujah. Subtract it up, I mean. Subtract 1555 from 1619 to see, won't you get 64? That's the $64,000 question. It's not 64,000, it's just simply 64 years that they lied about. And yet they put it in their little isms and schisms and their little idioms and their little short sayings. They are short and frequent sayings. They are quote proverbs. Yeah, yeah, that's the answer to the $64,000 question. You hear them say it all the time. And definitely used to hear them say it all the time back in the day. They don't say it quite as much, but some of them still say it. Some of the old schoolers, old timers who know what's going on will still use that. But anyway, tonight, we're going to do as we promised. We're going to let this brother come in and break down these hallelujah Christian black codes that's been floating around for quite some time and that have been in place for quite some time, but we just haven't been in the know. We have not been what? Cognizant. We have been ignorant of these things. But see, we were put to sleep by the Most High Yah so that they could do what they did and rule like they want to rule, but he didn't put it in their hearts to do the wickedness toward us that they did. They control their own thought process and their own doings toward us, and this is what has angered the Most High Yah. Oh, yeah, he has their number. He's going to get them, and they shall be got. They gon' get got. They gon' get got. There's no pretty way to put it, my beloved brothers and sisters and people of the nations. Hallelujah. Yes. And we're going to go on and continue in with this and let you listen in on this. Listen very closely. Now, I'm not aware of the type of video format the brother uploaded this segment upon, but it's clear for the most part, but it's the audio skips and dips, and, you know, it kind of like cuts out from time to time. But I can tell he's probably using some type of either some type of air signal or cable signal or whatever he uploaded it on. But anyway, just ignore those little glitches that you may hear in the audio. That's something that happened technically on his end. And just kind of pull your ears in close, absorb what he's going to tell you and what he's going to put out. He's a brother of the, quote, what they call Moorish faith. Hallelujah. But a lot of them don't know that Moors are actually Hebrews. Yes. You can verify this. Brother Rudolph Windsor has very excellent material on this. You can find that information in a book that's entitled From Babylon to Timbuktu. And yes, that book is available in the Madhu bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall and some other popular bookstores on Amazon. So, you know, you get a chance to add that to your library as well. And also get another excellent book by the brother Valley and the Dry Bones. Yes. Professor Rudolph Windsor is a Hebrew Israelite himself, and he's very well researched, hallelujah, in what he does. So without further ado, brother, tell us what these Christian black codes are. I am Yeremiah ben Yisrael, and you are in the Knowledge Suite every M day, every W day, on Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Islam, shalom, everybody. What's good with y'all? Good evening. I do apologize for getting this broadcast going late. I actually had to get my phone and let it sit on charger for a little bit to get a little bit more power in it because it burns it up, for sure. So tonight's topic is going to be, and you know what, I should have titled this part one, but tonight's topic is going to be the Christian black codes and King Alfred Klan, which is also known as Rex 84. So we're going to get into that. We're going to get into it. I'm going to show you about these Christian black codes here. This is what we're going to start off with. So we're going to start off with the black codes of Louisiana. I got the Ohio black codes. Unfortunately, I couldn't find them. I don't know where they're at. But anyway, the Christian black codes of Louisiana of 1724 will cover it regardless. It'll still do the same thing. What happened is the first state to actually put these out, if I'm correct, was Louisiana. And then each state adopted their own form of the black codes. All right, so we're going to start off with the black codes of Louisiana, March 1724. All right, so it says, Louis, by the grace of God, King of France and of Navarre, to all present and to come, greeting. The directors of the Company of the Indies have represented to us that the province and colony of Louisiana is considerably established by a large number of our subjects who use slaves for the cultivation of the lands. We have judged that it behooves our authority and our justice for the preservation of this colony to establish there a law and certain rules to maintain their discipline of the Catholic, Apostolic, and Roman Church, and to order about that, and to order about what concerns the state and condition of the slaves in the said islands, and desiring to provide for this, and to make known to our subjects who inhabit there and who shall settle there in the future, that although they inhabit climes infinitely remote, we are always present by the extent of our power and by our application to succor them. Actuated by these causes and others, by the advice of our council and by our certain knowledge, full power and royal authority, we have said, decreed, and ordered. We say, decree, and order, wish, and it pleases us, the following. All right, so like I said, we're about to get into this. Islam, everybody. Peace to the Moors. Peace with those that don't know they Moors, and peace with those that are Moors and don't want to say they Moors but know they Moors. All right, so like I said, this is the Black Codes of Louisiana. Each state actually adopted their own form of these codes. So wherever you may domicile at, I'm pretty sure that your state has a form of the Black Codes, even though they say they may have been repealed. That's only a name, but by an action, you can best believe they're definitely still in action. All right, it says Article 1 orders that the edict of, let me read this last sentence so we can get this into proper perspective. It says here, actuated by these causes and others, by the advice of our council, and by our certain knowledge, full power, and royal authority, we have said, decreed, and ordered. We say, decree, and order, wish, and it pleases us, the following. Article 1. Orders that the Edict of 1615 be applied to Louisiana, and that all Jews who may have established their religion there be expelled within 3 months under penalty of confiscation of body and property. Okay, so that's also part of the Christian Black Codes right there. Now, what people have to comprehend when you hear that term Jews, you're going to be thinking the European so-called Jew that you see today. But those Jews that they, in fact, were speaking about were the Moorish Jews, who also, unfortunately, had some of their people in captivity over here as well, too. And we'll get into that probably in another video. They were talking about Moors, because back then, you know, some Moors still had that status as Moors, and they were slaveholders as well. You know, it's an unfortunate fact, but it's true. Some of us actually held some of our own people in captivity and made money off of their backs. And then also, I will say this, some of us had them in captivity, I guess, also to give them an easier life, I guess I want to say. Probably give them freedom. I'm sure there were some of us that did that as well. All right, Article 2. It says, orders that all slaves in the province be instructed and baptized in the Catholic religion. Okay, that's how you got your so-called Christianity today. And what a lot of people fail to realize is that Christianity falls up under the Roman Catholic branch. No matter what you say, you can be Baptist, Methodist, Sub-Baptist, Seventh Adventist, Jehovah's Witness. At the end of the day, you're under the Roman Church. Everything around that. Okay, so it says Article 2 orders that all slaves in the province be instructed and baptized in the Catholic religion. Article 3 forbids the exercise of any other religion than the Catholic. Article 4 forbids the employment of any overseer who shall not be a Catholic under penalty of confiscation of the Negroes and punishment of the overseer. All right, okay, now. Let me see here. Let's go back to this Article 3 and Article 4. I want to go in on those because in a form, they are still forbidding you to do anything other than operate under the Roman Catholic branch. Like, for instance, in law, the first name that is given to you, Islam, Tramel, what's good with you, brother? In law, the first name that's given to you is also known as a Christian name, okay? A lot of people don't know that. If you actually look it up, it specifically says that a name, the first name is a Christian name, and then the surname that's usually placed on you, specifically when it comes to so-called minorities, that's the name of the family that owned your ancestors. So what happens is a lot of times you hear Moors trying to get employment working for European corporations, and the European corporation is actually enforcing Christianity on them because they're expecting a person who is not of a Christian nation in the first place to have a Christian name and also have a European surname attached to them when they are in no shape, form, or fashion a European. When by ancestral heritage they are no way, shape, form, or fashion a Christian. So they enforce those codes. These codes are being enforced whether subtly or just overtly. But it's no longer covert. If you studied, it's definitely no longer covert. You can see it blatantly. Let's see. Let's see. It says, forbid the employment of an overseer who shall not be a Catholic under penalty of confiscation of the Negroes and punishment of the overseer. So they're just basically saying that the slave owner has to be, or the slave owner's employee has to be a Catholic, also known as a Christian, right? And if not, anybody that's working for the slave owner who is not a Christian, his property can be confiscated. And the overseer who is doing the work of the overseer can actually be punished by law and by that decree. I don't want to say it's law. Says Article 5, orders Sundays and holidays to be regularly observed and forbids all work by master or slaves under penalty of confiscation of slaves and punishment of masters. The slaves, however, may be sent marketing. So order Sundays, that's where you get today's Sunday being the holy day from. Okay, that's what a lot of people don't understand. The Sunday being the day that you go to church actually comes from the slave codes. It's right here. It says Article 5 orders Sundays and holidays to be regularly observed and forbids all work by master or slaves. All right. So another thing what people have to comprehend is that the word holiday is in fact the word holy day. You got to break it down. H-O-L-I-D-A-Y-S. So the whole thing is, whose holy day in fact are you observing? You know, because you got to look at it. This is what, this was put out in 1724. You got 1776, July 4th, and you have so-called black people who are, unfortunately, descendants of those who were put in forced captivity, whose ancestors were actually still in captivity at that time, yet they celebrate July 4th, 1776, every year that it comes around. You see what I mean? And it's become tradition to them because they've been living under the Christian black codes. You got the Sunday law. Remember the Sunday law to where they couldn't sell liquor on Sundays? That's where that comes from. That comes from the Christian black codes. But it's lucrative now. So in some places, you see them selling liquor on Sundays now. All right. It says Article 6 forbids marriage of whites with slaves and concubinage of whites and manumitted or freeborn blacks with slaves and imposes penalties. Now, they've become a little more lenient on that, and I have to make sure we get this clarified. White and black are legal statuses when they're talking about this. White and black are legal statuses. It's just unfortunate that during this time in history, we were known as the black people, as the people who are the face of that status. We are the people who are still the face of that status, all right? But there's still penalties for marrying a European woman, a Caucasian woman. There's still penalties, and anybody that is married to a Caucasian woman who is one of us can tell you. There's subtle things that they deal with out there on a daily basis because they are married with a European woman, so-called white, and that's only because the Christian black codes are still in force, and the Christian black codes have become a culture for these people. That's what it has, is become a culture for everybody. Check this out. Now, this is where we got to go. It says Article 7, orders to be observed for marriages of free persons as well as slaves, the solemnities of the Ordinance of Blois and of the Edict of 1639. And that's basically saying the edict that was put out at that time is the consent of the parents of the slave is not necessarily, but only that of the master. So what today's master is the state-of corporation that we deal with, all right? Because a lot of people think the Emancipation Proclamation that Abraham Lincoln put out was freeing the slaves, when really it wasn't. It was actually a transfer of property from the plantation to the state-of corporation, all right? Which is why you have the Court of Common Pleas, which is also known as a surrogate court, because it acts as your mother. So that's where you go to get your marriage license at, which if you get the definition of license, is permission. You have to go down there to the master to get permission to marry, all right? You have to go down to the BMV to get a license to have permission to travel on your ancestral estate. That's Christian black code stuff, That's the same stuff that was practiced in slavery. When a so-called black man had to go from one plantation to another, or he had to go somewhere on the land to do business for the slave master, he had to have a written document which granted him permission to travel on the land. That's the license. The only thing is now they see that it's a lucrative business, so now they force every natural person to license. And they have to have permission. That's why the licensor is called competent licensing authority, and those who are getting the licenses, who are holding the licenses, are considered incompetent. So you waive all types of rights. You make yourself a child all over again in an adult body. That's why you always hear me say children in adult bodies all the time. Shouts out to Master Teacher Taj Tariq Bey for that. That's why you always hear me say children in adult bodies, because that's what minority means. We keep signing ourselves up for the minority position. You know what I mean? When you get a law dictionary and you look up the word minority, it says the state of a minor. We all know for a fact that a minor is a child. The only thing is you also see the term minority applied to adults who are 18 and older, which means they are still children in adult bodies who must go see their mother, the surrogate mother, which is the county court up there, Common Pleas, Lorain County Common Pleas Court, wherever county court y'all got. You got to go buy your wives, you got to go get permission, you got to go pay for that permission. And the thing is, what people don't comprehend is that a license can be revoked by the licensor. Now, I haven't really came across it happening, but if you have a marriage license, your license can be suspended. It can be revoked. That's what makes it so bad. It literally can be revoked by the competent licensing authority, which makes your marriage illegal. All right. Okay. So let's go to Article 8. It says, forbids curates to celebrate marriages of slaves without consent of the masters, and forbids masters to force their slaves to marry against their will. So they at least give you that privilege. You see what I mean? They allow you to choose who you marry, but you still have to go down to the surrogate court and get permission from Chebaneskiwaski or Jonas L. Brockman Bauer, you know, or whatever person you can think of that's not us, somebody that's foreign to you, somebody that looks like the people that actually held you in captivity. Not to say that they did, that particular person's family, but even still, you're still following the same process. You got to do the same thing. You have to have a written permission to get married. We're saying it right here. That's still being practiced. How many of y'all done went down to the courthouse to get that license? Get married. You know what I mean? How many people you know, if you haven't, how many people you know that went down there to get that marriage license, that permission? Have a written permission to get married. And it's saying it right here. That's still being practiced. How many of y'all that went down to the courthouse to get that license to get married? You know what I mean? How many people you know, if you haven't, how many people you know that went down there to get that marriage license, that permission? Christian black codes. All right. Article 9, it says, an act that children born from the marriages of slaves shall belong to the master of the mother. That's the state. That's the state today. The master of the mother is the state. That's what it is. So a lot of times they send you out, all the time they send you out with your children. You know what I mean? And you think that they're theirs, they're your children, you got sole control over them, but then one of these days they just come in and kick your door waving the fo-fo, and they snatch your babies from you, and you have no real recourse at all, but they keep you wrapped up in court, and then they end up snatching your babies.
Very well stated, as you can see. We have been dealing with the Christian black code for quite some time, the Christian black codes. That's plural. He read multiples of them, my beloved brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Still in practice to this day. Yes, to be legally married in the United States of America, you must have a marriage license. When you have children, the children must have birth certificates. That gives what? The state ownership of your children. And not to mention the fact, by a marriage license, the state owns you and your wife. Yes. Yes. Because even when you divorce, that's the only time a marriage license, the marriage license is revoked upon divorce. But yet, it still stays on record. It's still on file. My beloved brothers and sisters, the Christian Black Golds, go back and listen to this part. We may play the rest of that particular section of the Christian Black Golds. We may finish up this. Yes, we will. The other part of it, this coming W Day. And then next week, we'll let Dr. Ray Hagen. I don't agree with everything he says, but he does break down the King Alfred plan very, very well. The Rex 84 is what they call it now. But originally it was called the King Alfred plan. But I don't care what plan they have. Jeremiah chapter 30, starting at verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, thus speaking the Elohim, thus speaking to Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. He also told Yeshua, the so-called Isaiah, the same thing. Now go write it in a book, see? Verse 3, for lo, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, hallelujah, and Yehuda, saith Yahweh, now this Yah talking, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Notice, he said he shall cause us to do this. So a movement will occur amongst us. We will be caused to return to our land. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. And these are the words that Yahweh spake. Hallelujah. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Shall. When Yah say you shall do something, you're going to do it. Verse 4. And all these are the words that Yah spake concerning Israel and concerning Yehuda. For thus saith Yahweh, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Notice he said, ask. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins? Look at this, holding your loins now. You're in pain, you're trembling, you have fear. You've been terrorized, my beloved brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. As a woman in travail, that's a woman. That's what? That's in labor. That's laboring to have a child. And no one but a woman can tell you what that's like, my brothers. Yes, some of you brothers know so much, y'all know what labor pains feel like, huh? Oh, no, you don't. Only a woman can tell you that. Hallelujah. And all faces are turned into paleness, you know? Well, that don't mean that your skin turned white. It just simply means what? That's a condition that you're looked upon as being in when you're in great travail, great fear, great trembling. In other words, you're terrorized to the max. Hallelujah. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Hallelujah. Look at this. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahweh Sabaoth of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck is strange, and will burst thy bonds. And strangers, this European, these other nations, shall no more serve themselves of him, of us, the children of Israel. But they shall now serve Yahweh their Elohim, and Dawid their king, whom I will raise up unto them. And that settles the dispute multiple places, and by the mouths of multiple prophets do we know. And or what? Or whether Dawid will be raised from the dead and be put back upon the throne of Israel until Yah, the king of Israel, arrive. And then Dawid will be a prince amongst us. Hallelujah. Can't have two kings in a kingdom. Hallelujah. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Yaakov, saith Yahweh, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of thy captivity, that's you and your children. And Jacob shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Now that right there tells you that the Jews over there are not the children of Israel, because they are not in peace, and plenty are making them afraid, and they are trembling. Hallelujah. My beloved brothers and sisters, hallelujah. It's been a pleasure spending this time with you, and I hope that we have been a blessing to you in bringing some enlightenment unto you and to keep the hope going. Because, look, listen, there is hope for this, our people. Yes, we will overcome all of these things. Yes, and we invite you to listen again to us in another episode in the Knowledge Suite. Shalom, shalom, shalom. May the blessings of Yah be upon you and your household henceforth forever and forever and ever. Shalom, shalom, shalom.